But it is good to be in the Lord's house. Let's turn in our Bibles today to 2 Timothy chapter 3. The book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And we're going to read a few verses. I'm actually going to go through pretty much the whole chapter and into chapter number 4, but we're not going to read all of that. We're just going to read a few verses just to get started. And I've really prayed about what the Lord would have us to preach today, and I always try to preach on or try to pray about it and get the Lord's will. So you help us today. Now, Wednesday night, Lord willing, starting Wednesday night, we're going to start a study in the book of Acts. I've never preached through the book of Acts. I've preached out of it a lot, but I'm going to try to start a study, and sometimes it takes me a while, but I want to try to maybe move along, cover all that we can. But I think the book of Acts, the nature of that book, the way it is, will be able to take, go a little bit quicker and get the story in, the message in of what's going on. So read ahead, read chapter number 1, and we'll start in the book of Acts, Lord willing, on Wednesday night. But this morning, 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Let's stop right there, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come today, and we truly are thankful to be in your house today, gathered together. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to just focus on what the Word of God says, and that the Spirit of God would speak to our hearts this morning and help us as your people. I pray that, Lord, yes, you would protect us, you would help us, but Lord, that we would be led by your Spirit, we would do your will in our lives, and we would be effective witnesses for the gospel in this world in which we live in, this world that's for the most part antagonistic to the gospel, that don't want to hear it. Lord, help us to be salt and light, and help us to be wise, and help us to know and trust your word. Help us to be good students of the word of God. Help us to be a help to others. And so, Lord, have your way right now. Give liberty. Speak to our hearts, and help me to say everything that you'd have me to say, and nothing that would be of myself. So, Lord, I pray to be led by your Holy Spirit, and we'll thank you for all you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. We're going back and starting in verse number 1, where the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, I know that we've all probably, in fact, if you've never heard this, you would definitely be an odd bird. I mean, not having somebody say something or hear something about the last days. You know, I think we've all heard things about these are the last days, living in the last days. The Bible talks about here the last days. "This know also, that in the last days." Now, I realized this morning that really just about anything that happens could be attributed to the last days. And in times gone by, yes, anything that happens has been attributed to the last days. You know, well, there's an earthquake somewhere. Well, somebody will say, the Bible says in the last days will be earthquakes in divers places. Sign of the times. You ever heard that? Anything could be attributed to being in the last days. You find that in Matthew chapter number 27. Same thing about war. Has there been any war in the past 2,000 years? Sure has, all over the world. And I'm sure Christians all over the world have said, well, in the last days, nations shall rise against nation. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. This is what the Bible says. Well, it's a sign that we're living in the last days. Same thing could be said about every famine that's ever taken place or every pestilence that's ever taken place. A pestilence is a plague. A pestilence is a disease. Flu pandemics, all kinds of things. Black plague. Can you imagine living during the dark ages? Can you imagine living in a time where there were so many dead people that, I mean, I'm not even going to get into it, but there's been a lot of things down through the history of time that people could have looked at and said, it's the last days. Famines, pestilences, wars, earthquake, unrest, civil strife, extreme weather, immorality. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, it's just going to get worse. It's going to get worse and worse. You find that here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it's actually in verse number 13, which we'll get to, but it says over there, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Well, things are going to get worse. That's what the Bible says. People say the Bible is being fulfilled before our eyes. Is that actually true? Some people say, well, that's just the way it is. That's the way it always is. There's always been earthquakes. There's always been wars. There's always been pestilences. And, you know, you Christians just keep going on and on about this last days. But that's the way things are. I've heard that. But I want to preach this morning. Is that really true? Is that just the way life is? Or is the Bible literally being fulfilled before our eyes? That's what I'm preaching on this morning, how the Bible is literally being fulfilled right before our eyes. Is that something we just say whenever something bad happens, or is it really taking place? Can we look in the Bible and show somebody, not just say, oh, this is the Bible taking place, but what does the Bible say? Is it really taking place just like the Bible says? Are we really living in the last days? And I want you to know that I never take lightly preaching, teaching God's word. I spend a lot of time praying about what the Lord wants me to preach on. And I spend as much time thinking about what not to preach on as to what to preach on. Because let me tell you, there's a lot to preach on. I don't understand preachers that say, well, I can't find anything to preach on. You're not looking very hard. I spend most of my time thinking what not to preach on. Because I don't want to preach on just what Wynn Grier wants to say or to hear or anything like that. But this is God's word. Verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All the Bible is profitable to us. But what does God want to say to us today, this morning, June the 7th, 2020, what does God's Word have to say to us? Now, I want you to say on most everything that comes down the line, I am by nature very skeptical. You say, preacher, you're a skeptical person? I know it's hard to believe, but I pretty much am. I'm skeptical about what I hear. I'm skeptical about the news. And I learned to be that way in school. I remember it was probably about the fifth grade. And we had a teacher. Her name was Miss Enzi. And her husband, Mr. Ron Enzi, was a math professor over at the college. And I remember one day during class, she had him come in and he got up on the chalkboard, and him being a mathematician, he showed all of us how McDonald's used figures to say that they had sold a million burgers or a billion burgers or whatever it is. You remember when, I don't know if their signs say that now, but their sign used to say over a million burgers or a billion burgers sold. And he showed us how that people that use figures can put different information in and come out with pretty much whatever they wanted the figures to say. That made me skeptical about everything. Then years later, I come across a book a man had written, and there's a quotation in that book, and he said, figures lie, or liars figure and figures lie, something like that. I mean, you can take statistics, you can take numbers, and basically make them say anything you want them to say. And I know you don't come to church to just hear the news reiterated or figures reiterated or something like that. I try to limit when I do use figures, but I said all that to say this. I'm skeptical about most things that go on in the world, but I'm not skeptical about God's Word. I believe every word in the Bible. Every word. This is God's Word that we're looking at today. And you can believe and trust God's Word, and it'll never lead you wrong. It's God's Word that we're dealing with, God's book, and rightly divided, it will not lead us wrong. Paul told Timothy back in chapter 2, verse number 15, he said, Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of God rightly divided will never lead you wrong. We got to study God's word. We need to know what the Bible has to say, and so it will not lead us wrong. The Bible is being fulfilled before our very eyes today. And I'm going to show you four or five things from this chapter in chapter number 4 where we can look at and say, yes, that is definitely happening on a level that it's never happened before. First thing I notice, why I know the Bible is being fulfilled right before our eyes, is the peril of the time. Verse 1 says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, technically speaking, if we study the Bible and rightly divide the Word of God, we have been living in the last days, according to the Bible, since the times of the early church. Ever since Jesus went back to heaven in Acts chapter number 1 and the Spirit of God came upon the early church in Acts chapter number 2, we have been in the last days. Acts chapter 2 verse 17, the Bible said, it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And so when the Spirit of God came upon the early church on the day of Pentecost, that was the beginning of the last days. And so every Christian that's looked at every earthquake, every war, and every pestilence, and every famine, and every time a nation has fallen and crumbled, and another one risen up, and all of these things, every time somebody said, that's a sign of the last days, well, they were right. They were right, technically. We've been living in the last days for a long time, over 2,000 years now. But let me say, we are in the last of the last days. We've been in the last days for a long time. Here's how I know that. Look what Paul says in verse number 1. He said, this know. What he's saying there to Timothy, he's saying, Timothy, this is something you need to know. He's saying to us, the Spirit of God is saying to us, this is something that you need to know. This know. Then he talks about these perilous times. But the this of verse number 1 actually it is taken up in verse number 2. This is what you need to know. Men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud. What he's talking about in verse number 2. This is what you need to know. When we see men become what we find in verses 2 through 5, we will know that we are in the last days. The last days just prior to what he's talking about in chapter 4, verse number 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. These characteristics are going to be prominent upon the earth just before his appearing, before he comes back. This is how society is going to be. This is how men are going to be. And characteristic of this day, these last days, just before the Lord comes, there's going to be perilous times. Now, we've heard that many times down through the years, that we're living in perilous times. And these are perilous times, and they have been perilous times. And these perilous times are getting more and more perilous as time goes on. The word perilous there, what it actually means, it's a great word. It means this. It means reduced strength. Difficult times, dangerous times. By implication, furious times. Dangerous, perilous, weak times in which we live. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 11, verse number 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I taught several years on the radio broadcast 28 founding principles of America. Took a long time to go through that, 30 minutes a week. 28 founding principles of our nation. And what I did, I took those 28 founding principles and went through every one of them and showed how that all of them had either totally been destroyed or very, very weak. What I'm talking about, if the foundations be destroyed, might surprise some people, but our nation was founded on God's Word by primarily God-fearing people. You know what they founded this nation upon? The genius of natural law. You know in our founding documents, when it talks about natural law, all that is talking about is God's law. God's law of sowing and reaping. God's law of thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. God's law. God's law is unalterable. Unchangeable. They knew that. They understood that. God's law was the best way. They understood that there's a creator. So our founding documents talk about that there's a creator and he's created all men with unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unalienable rights means rights that the government does not give and the government cannot take away. But all that's under attack. They believed in a virtuous and moral people. Is that where we are in America today? I'll show you from God's Word. The day's going to come where they will be haters of that which is good. They believed that in order to have a good country, a good society, you had to have virtuous and moral leaders. Well, we're a long ways from that. Oh, you didn't say amen on the virtuous and moral people, but you will on the leaders. Our country is not virtuous and moral by and large. Our leaders are not virtuous and moral. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If you take away everything our nation was built upon, which they look to the Bible as the model, and you destroy all that, guess what? We're going to be very, very weak. These are perilous days. These are perilous times that we are living in. We are very weak. It is a dangerous society. The whole thing could collapse in a very short period of time. I mean, our whole nation. You take the truck drivers off the road because of danger or whatever, and I'm telling you, we're in a mess. We live hand to mouth. We run to the store, got to get it at the store. You think it's bad not being able to get toilet paper, wait till you can't get milk and bread and meat and medicine and things like that. You think people are going to get nicer? You think society is going to... No. It's going to get worse. It's perilous, dangerous times in our nation. Where we live, there's an old shed out back. And I don't know that it's not older than the house. Our house is over 100 years old. That old shed has got a cupboard in it that I know was on Little House on the Prairie. And you know, we like to watch Little House on the Prairie. And I told Kim, I said, that cupboard that Charles made, that's the one that's out in that shed. I know it is. I don't know how we got it, but it looks just like the cupboard on Little House on the Prairie. And if the shed wasn't so dangerous, I'd go in there and get it out. The floor is rotted out. Now, once upon a time, this was a great outdoor building. But over the course of time, it's more and more perilous. The whole thing, if you look at it from the outside, shifted. Like it could fall at any moment. The floorboards are rotted out. And it has steps in it that goes into an upper loft. And everybody I've showed it, they say, what's up in that loft? I said, I don't know. Go up there and see. And they look at those steps and they look at the snake skins that are laying around in there and they said, not for all the money in the world. Why not? What's wrong with you? It's perilous. It's dangerous. He could fall at any moment. There's no telling what could happen inside that shed. And let me tell you, in our nation, as time has gone on, it's very perilous. Very perilous. Very dangerous times in which we live. The word perilous is used in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 28, but it's not translated as perilous. It is translated as exceeding fierce. It's only two times in the Bible. And in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, the Bible said, and Jesus goes to Gadara, and it said in verse 28, when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. These two demon-possessed men were so fierce, so dangerous, nobody would even walk by. That's the day and time in which we're living in. Dangerous times, perilous times, weak times. We're not as strong as we were once upon a time. The peril of the hour lets me know the Bible is being fulfilled right before our very eyes. There's the peril of the time. Look on down, beginning in verse number 2. There's the people of the time. Verse 1, perilous times shall come. How do we know when we're in the last days? These perilous times will come. And verse number 2, here's also how you're going to know it. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, let me say, there's 20 things here. 20 things in verses 2 through 5. Don't get nervous. I mean, I got nervous when I was studying. I thought, there's no way. There's no way I can cover all these things. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means without power of self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Now, there's always been people, always in the history of the world, there have always been people that have had and exhibited these characteristics, but in the last days, this is how men are going to be. This is how women are going to be. This is how the whole of society is going to be. This is just going to be the characteristics of the day and time in which we live. And if you read and study down through there, I think you'd have to say, I believe I can recognize that. And it doesn't matter where you look. You look out in society, you see these characteristics. You look in the political realm, you see these characteristics. You look in the entertainment industry, you see these characteristics. You look at your super athlete sports stars and you see these characteristics. You look in religion. Religious people, people that are supposed to be Christians, exhibit these characteristics. This is pretty much how society is. It's the way it is. Just a few things, and I point out many things, but it said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. I preached a message here one time on selfies. The prominence of selfies. Why do we do that? We love ourselves. We love ourselves. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. It goes to different extremes, of course, but, you know, really when it boils down to it, men shall be lovers of their own selves. We see that, me first, number one, and all like that. Covetous, I want what somebody else has got. Boasters, hey, look at me. Proud, Satan was kicked out of heaven for being proud. I shall ascend above the stars. I'll be above the Most High is what he said. There's much pride. Blasphemers, that's taking God's name in vain, cursing God. Disobedient to parents. Let's go to Walmart. Go somewhere where children and parents are together and see if that's not how it is. Was I disobedient growing up? Not like this generation. Not really. I mean, if my mom told me to do something, I'd do it. Dad, we'd sit in church We all sat on the pew together. My Grandpa Greer had great big old hands. You remember Preacher Arnt, how big his hands were? Well, they were related. And if I so much as looked sideways, I'd feel them big hands on my shoulder. Put the squeeze on, that's all it took. I'd sit right up, pay attention, stop whatever I was doing. That's not the attitude among most children today. I'll do what I want to, and you're not going to tell me what to do. Most of you grew up obeying your parents, but the characteristic of the last days would be disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unthankful. Are we not an unthankful people? Unholy. I could say a lot of things. Without natural affection. Natural affection is, you know, parents love their children. In America, we abort our children. That's not natural. Many things, natural affection, truce breakers. Can't trust anybody on their word. False accusers. Anybody falsely accused in our society all the time. You want to ruin somebody, just go right ahead. It's very easy. Say anything, take two little words that they've said or whatever. Can ruin people. False accusers. Incontinent, that means without self-control. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. There's much, much, much religion in our day and time, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And we see these things all round about us. Proverbs chapter 30 talks about. And I've just started teaching on this tomorrow. You say, how do you do that? It's a secret. I started teaching on the podcast out of Proverbs chapter number 30. It is a prophecy, and it talks about there is a generation. We're seeing that generation, pure in their own eyes. They're not washed from their filthiness. Their eyelids are high and lifted up. That generation is upon the earth today. There's a generation just like that on the earth today. And it says, I think it's in verse number 15, it says, the horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. And let me say, our society, there's no way to appease the mob. You cannot give enough, and whatever you give, they'll say, I want more. If you defund the police department, you're going to defund the military next. There's no stopping when a mob gets a mindset of what it wants, and people just start screaming and hollering about what they want and everybody else is evil. Buddy, I'm telling you, we're in trouble. There's no appeasing. Some people cannot be appeased or made happy no matter what you do. If you look up the word democracy in an old dictionary, it says it's a mob. That's where we are in America. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous for everybody, the people. There is a generation that is like that. I noticed the persecution as well. Look at verse number 9, what the Bible says. But they, and it's given an example in verses 6, 7, and 8. I'm not going to deal with that, but it says about the Jannes and Jambres there. It said, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Paul says, my life will testify for what I believe. My life backs up, and I just finished in Galatians. They said about him, they said, oh, you're not an apostle. You're not one of the Lord's apostles. And Paul said, I'm through with this. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Don't tell me I'm not real. I got the marks to prove it. He says the same thing to Timothy. He said, you know how I've lived my life. You know what I've said. You know what I've preached. Charity, patience, long-suffering in verse 10. Verse 11, persecutions. Paul had persecuted, but after he got saved, he was persecuted. Afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul said, everybody that lives godly in Christ Jesus can just trust that they're going to be persecuted. He said, I've been persecuted. The Lord delivered me out of all of them. But everybody that lives godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted, is what the Bible says. Now, Christians have been persecuted ever since the days of Acts. In every decade, in every century in the history of the world, you can look back and find Christians being persecuted. And I'm not just talking about being talked about. I'm talking about having their heads cut off, their land seized, fined, put in prison, burned at the stake, drowned in the river. I'm talking about real persecution. Beaten, fed to the lions in the Colosseum, and on, their families taken away from them. Christians have been persecuted. 50 million Christians during the Dark Ages were put to death for their faith. And in the world today, in many countries, Christians are persecuted. They're persecuted in China and North Korea and Cuba. And in Muslim countries, you'll get your head cut off. They're still being persecuted. I don't think we might get persecuted. I think there's a 100% chance we are going to get persecuted if Jesus doesn't come soon. 100% chance. Say, preacher, why do you believe that? Because that's what the Bible says. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And I go back to verse number 3, that there's a generation that are fierce and despisers of those that are good. We're living in a dangerous generation that despise what's good and persecute what is godly. Does anybody in here this morning, you believe that the Lord's going to come in the rapture? That the trump of God's going to sound and God's people are going to go home? Does anybody believe that? Well, why would we believe that and not believe this? Same book. Oh, I believe the Lord's coming in and nothing bad's going to happen to us. Where do you get that from? I don't get that from the Bible. I think very bad things are likely to happen to God's children. That's what the Bible says. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Why would we think we're exempt? You know, we're all for the Lord coming. We're all for the rapture of the church. But I think if we had to vote on persecution, we'd say, well, I'll pass on that. I mean, I don't want to be persecuted. I don't even want to go to the dentist to get a filling filled. I'm not against going and preaching to the guys in prison, but I don't want to have a permanent prison ministry. We don't want to be persecuted, but the Bible says if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. We were coming back to church, has it been 4 Sundays ago we came back the first time? I think so. If the governor hadn't got sued, those that came would have came contrary to the governor's decree. But the Lord told me to go and to preach, and that's what I was going to do. And I was coming to church on that Sunday morning. The girls came after me. They had a Zoom Sunday school, so I was coming all by myself. Very weird on Sunday morning. There was hardly any cars on the road. No churches were meeting and open, and people in the parking lots like usual. And here I was coming to church, and I had my suit on, and I was just thinking about everything, and I was thinking about how much like a preacher that I looked. Anybody that saw me would know I was going to church and I was probably the preacher because of the way I was dressed. And the thought came to my mind, you know, a day might come in our country where it would be dangerous to be out on a Sunday morning dressed in a suit. You think we could get there in this country? I think we could get there real quick. I think we could get there. I mean, Christians in the past have had to meet in secret in small groups. And let me ask you this, how many church shootings have happened in the past few years? You say, what's going to happen? Well, look, what's already happened? very regularly. You know, every year, some nut job will come into the church and kill a bunch of people over whatever. I don't know. If that's not persecution, I don't know what is. Who had ever thought we'd have been told that we could not have church, that we would go for 2 months and not meet together for 2 whole months? Now, I've thought a lot about this. I gave the benefit of the doubt to the government. You know, what if? What if they're right? What if this is the black plague all over again? We're all going to die. So we listened and we did what we thought was best and stayed home and gave the benefit of the doubt. You ever heard that saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Sort of how I feel about it. Now, I don't want anybody that's listening to feel like, oh, the preacher says we all have to come back to church, and if I don't come, I'm backslid or I'm not, you know, I think every person needs to pray and trust the leadership of the Holy Spirit and do what you feel like God wants you to do. I'm glad people can watch on Facebook. I really am. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. I think going forward, you know, if people are sick or can't come or having chemo or something like that, that's best. You know, we've got it there. Praise the Lord. Let's use it. But as for my own personal feelings about the thing, I feel like we sort of got lied to, and then it got political and went on and on and on and still going on today. Don't tell me you can't go to church, but I saw this thing, and a police officer was on a beach, and he was talking to a little boy, and he said, son, it's not safe over here on the beach. Go over there to that Walmart. That's ridiculous. What's going on is ridiculous. But you can't go to church. Walmart's full. Lowe's is full. Greenways are full. Everywhere they didn't close. Here's what the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I used to always think that was talking about as you see Sunday approaching, you ought to encourage one another to go to church. That's not what it means. When it says, as ye see the day approaching, it is talking about when you see the day is coming, that Jesus is coming soon. Don't start forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. I think the Lord knows more than the governor knows. I really do. Persecution. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and we were outside and looked up, and the sky was gray just a little bit, and the guy said, a storm's coming. And I said, in more ways than one. I hope not. I hope I'm wrong on that. But if we just look and think for ourselves, I believe a storm is coming. I believe, and I've preached this many times before from this pulpit and other places, that there are forces and people in this country that want to see it destroyed and tore down, and anarchy in the streets, and killing and raping and looting and all of that stuff. There, I told Kim this morning, I said, it's amazing how well we can all get along until we're told not to. If it wasn't for the government and the news media and this COVID thing had come along, what would we have done? We'd have done just like we did when there was the SARS scare and the Nile virus scare and the MRSA scare and everything else. We've been scared and scared and scared down through the years. And what have we done? We used some common sense and we trust the Lord and wash our hands. But when the government comes along and tells us to be scared, everybody's scared. When the government comes along and the news comes along and tells us to hate one another and fight with one another, people who have been getting along and loving one another, all of a sudden they're enemies. Well, the only reason is because the news told us to. It's stupid. We don't use that word in our house, so I apologize. I saw Kim's eyes got big as saucers when I said that. When Chloe was born many years ago and we heard a little 2-year-old and 3-year-old saying the word stupid, we said maybe that's not a good word. But I reserve the right to use it for stupid things. It's just crazy what goes on and whatever the news says, you know, and we lose our mind. And we can't think and love and follow God and have faith and be led by the Holy Spirit. The persecution. Say, all right, go on. Okay, I'm going to go on. There's the perplexity of the last days. Look at verse number 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's where you hear that. Well, it's going to get worse and worse. Well, specifically, what's going to get worse and worse? Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. These days that we are living in, the day and time right now, is characterized by deception, deceivers. You don't even know what to believe. You don't know who to believe. I saw a sign for the CDC. It said, change decisions constantly. Today, don't wear a mask. Next week, wear a mask. 6 feet, and then they come out. That don't apply. You don't know who to believe. You hear something happened, you better not believe it. You better not believe everything you hear. Especially if it's on the news, especially if it's on Facebook, especially if it's on social media and Twitter and all of those things. It's going to be so bad in the last days that the deceivers are going to be deceived. Evil men and seducers. The word seducers there, it comes from a word which means jugglers. It comes from a word. You ever saw somebody like at a fair or somewhere like that, and they've got, you know, like three cups, and they put a rock under one, and they shuffle it around, and you guess which one? They're deceivers. They're the seducers. It's going to be so bad in the last days that the ones that are doing the seducing and think they're doing the deceiving, why, they're deceived. That's why you can't believe anything that you hear. Better back it up five times. And if you don't line up with this Bible, you better reject it. Amen. We better learn to base our decisions on what does God's Word say. You know, you could fix every problem we've got overnight if you just listen to what Jesus said. You don't know what the greatest commandment is? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and love your neighbor as yourself. If people would do that, all our problems overnight be gone. It just disappeared. The perplexity of the last days. You absolutely do not know who to believe or what to believe. And that's why I said at the beginning, I encourage you to be very skeptical of everything that you hear on the news. How come, preacher? Because of what the Bible says. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Even people with good intentions can be deceived. That's how bad it's going to be in the last days. Somebody can have the best intention in the world, but they're getting their info from somewhere wrong and they're deceived. That's just the way it's going to be from here on out. So everything I see and everything I hear, I ought to make sure it lines up with God's book. And if it doesn't line up with the Bible, I'm not believing it. I'm not going along with it just because anybody says. Because that's the characteristic, the perplexity, the confusion of the last days. Guess what? The Bible says God is not the author of confusion. Wonder who's behind all this. The perplexity. I got to go on. Last of all, this morning, there's the program. Well, what do we do in light of all this? Well, here's what Paul said. He said, but continue thou. I think I preached a message one time, to be continued. What do we do in the last days? We keep on keeping on. Keep on doing what we're doing with more urgency than ever before, because the days are growing short and the time is short. And we're living in the last days. And Paul told Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Just keep doing what you've learned. And make the word of God your guide. It's given by inspiration of God, and it's there for us. And then in verse chapter 4, verse 1, he said, I charge thee therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. He said, Timothy, I charge you this. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Are we there or not? I don't want to hear what the Bible has to say. I don't want to hear what the preacher has to say. They will not endure sound doctrine. Better be careful what you think and what you say. It'll be held against you. That's where we are. It'll be used against you. I preached a message years ago out of the book of Isaiah about being an offender for the word, a criminal for what you say. Anything you say, you can be demonized, you can be persecuted over. Used to be in our country, people let you think what you wanted to think. Sort of mind your own business. Not now. Anything you think, anything you say, if it doesn't line up with what the news says you ought to be thinking and saying, you're bad. You're a bad person for thinking for yourself. How dare you? Paul told Timothy, he said, you're going to get persecuted, but he said, I'm not telling you to be quiet. I'm charging you to be loud. Preach the word. Keep on. Jesus is coming. People are lost. They're dying. They're going to hell. They're not concerned about it. They're not worried about being lost. You ought to be scared to death. When I was young and God, by His grace, dawned upon my heart that I was lost and going to die and go to hell, I was scared to death. I knew I needed to get saved. What a glorious day. I'm thankful this morning an old-time preacher took his jacket off, rolled up his sleeves, and preached the gospel to me. Amen. Told me that Jesus died for sinners and there's a place called hell. That's awful. I hate to preach about that, but it's a reality. If God's word is true, and it is, there's an awful place to be avoided. But there's a great Savior that died on the cross, shed His blood, because He loves sinners. He wants them to be saved. Amen. Wants them to come to Him. You don't have to die and go there. You can be saved. Amen. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. He said, Jesus is coming. Verse 5, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Be an evangelist. Oh, we got some great preaching in our day and time. I love it. I love to hear God's word preached. But them old-time preachers were great evangelists. Yeah, they pretty much preached about two messages. But I can hear them. I can see them. Children, you need to be saved. And cry and weep over lost people dying and going to hell. We're missing that. Amen. We're missing churches that weep over lost people. We're very intelligent. We're very educated. We're very socially responsible in all of those things. But we're missing the old time power. And Paul told Timothy, he said, you need to be an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. Use every avenue that you can. Because Jesus is coming. He's going to judge the quick and the dead. At His appearing, at His kingdom, you better get saved. What's the program? Keep on, keeping on. Because people are lost. And it is going to get worse and worse. But for us, it's not bad news. It's not bad news. I mean, it's bad times. But if we look at the timeline of things, it's actually good news. I mean, the worst the world can do to you is take your liberty away. To me, that's the worst. The worst that can happen is to take your liberty away. But to be threatened with heaven? That's not too bad. Not too bad. Might die? No, I'm going to die. You're not might going to die. You're going to die. But if you're saved by the grace of God, we'll go to heaven. People say, oh, I miss so-and-so. I miss them too. But let me tell you, they don't miss you. So I don't think there's a person in heaven today that it's yet dawned upon them that they miss anybody. I just think heaven's too great. And once you get over there, I think you're going to realize that it's not very long. Not very long. I think people in heaven, if they think anything about us, they think it's not going to be long. They're going to be here too. And they're showing up every second. Every second, people are showing up in heaven. We just got our roots way too deep in this world. And we're not thinking about the one to come, but I'm telling you, the one to come, praise God, it's going to be really good. And it's worth working a little while here and suffering a little while and being persecuted a little while here, because what is to come over there, praise the Lord. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. So don't be discouraged this morning. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Yeah, I see everything that's happening. Jesus is coming. Say, so you've been saying that a long time. I know. But one day when you wake up and we're not here, you're going to see what we was talking about. But it'll be too late. Be too late if you've heard the gospel and rejected it. I'm trying to close, but I'm also trying to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of night my departure is at hand. You ever been down the airport? And as soon as I get there, I'm looking for my flight. It's under the side that says departure. And I say, whoo, I just barely made it. But that last hour, that's so long. Piddle around, get a cup of coffee. Buy a bottle of water for $8. All that good stuff you do when you fly. But I tell you, at departure time, that's good. I'm anxious to get on the plane. I want to get things on. I want to get where I'm going. Our departure's coming soon. You may not see it, but I promise God's got it on His calendar. We need to be ready. I want to be ready. When they say, you know, my class is the one that gets on last. But when they say you can start boarding, I notice everybody jumps up and gets in line, gets ready to get in line. We ought to be ready. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you're here and you're lost, you say, how do I need to get saved? What do I need to do? Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon Him out of your heart. You don't have to do anything physically. You got to believe with your heart, though. I want our ladies to come play this morning a little bit. Their heads bowed and their eyes closed. Wherever you are, you can do business with the Lord. You can pray. You can talk to the Lord. If you need to come to the altar, the altar's open. It's not closed.